Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that you will enjoy our study of God's Word. And most importantly, I hope that you will be encouraged to obey it and become a Christian and be right with God. And if I can help you to do that, let's get together and study. Before I talk about our lesson this morning, I wanted to tell you about the upcoming Moorefield Boulevard Vacation Bible School for all of the children, all of the young people. We would love to have you come and bring your children with you to the Moorefield Boulevard Vacation Bible School. This year, we will be studying the life of Moses, the great leader who brought the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt, and we're going to be talking about the meekness of Moses. And the date is June 2 through June 6. Monday through Friday, each evening, June the 2nd through June the 6th at 7 p.m. each evening. On Monday evening, the meekness of Moses in learning. On Tuesday evening, the meekness of Moses in submission. On Wednesday evening, the meekness of Moses in meeting the challenge. Thursday evening, the meekness of Moses in confronting evil. And Friday evening, the meekness of Moses in punishment. And these will be a great series of lessons for your children. Please come and be a part of that. Vacation Bible School at the Moorefield Boulevard Church of Christ, Monday through Friday, June 2 through June the 6th at 7 p.m. each evening. Please come. We would love to have you. This morning on the program, I want to talk about the great tragedy of being lost. Have you ever been lost? Do you like to be lost? I don't. I don't like to know my way when I'm driving. I like to use a phone app like Google Maps or something like that to help me get along the way. I don't like being lost. I don't like wasting time. I don't like wasting gas. I don't like missing certain appointments because I'm wandering around not knowing where I'm going. So I don't want to be lost. I don't like being lost in a large building. If I'm going to a particular place, I need to know what floor it is and what room it is. And so I'm glad that directories are posted. The other day I was at Vanderbilt Hospital and I got turned around and I had to ask for some directions. The place is massive and it just goes everywhere and it's easy to lose where you might be. And so I don't like being lost. And I don't think you do either. But friends, being lost in traffic or being lost in a building is not really a big deal compared to the big picture. But being lost in sin and being lost eternally in hell is a tragedy and a travesty. And so I want to talk this morning about the great tragedy of being lost. When we use the word lost, and when we find it in the New Testament, we'll read a few verses here in a minute, we're talking about being lost in sin, not saved from our sin. And it is a great tragedy. Jesus, when he sent out the 12 apostles before what we call the Great Commission, when he sent them out on what we call the Limited Commission, he sent them in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And even today, Jews don't believe that they're lost. And they don't believe that they need Jesus Christ. But even Jesus called them the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Later in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, Jesus said something similar there when the Syrophoenician woman came and crying out that her daughter would be healed. He said, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 15, when Jesus realized that the Pharisees and scribes were murmuring that he was eating with sinners, he spake three parables unto them of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And he used those parables to talk about how that a shepherd will leave the 99 and go out and find the one lost sheep and rejoice because the one lost sheep is valuable. And the woman who lost a coin in the house, she went and swept the house and she finally found it and she called her friends together and rejoiced and said, "That which was lost, I have found. I have found the peace which I had lost." That was a great value to her. And that particular coin that was lost there today isn't worth much at all, just a few pennies. But it was valuable to her. And then the prodigal son. And in Luke chapter 15:24, and then later in verse 32, the father talks about how that his son was dead in sin, and he was lost, but now he is found again, and he rejoiced. And so, lost in sin. You can be lost out in the world. You can be lost at home. You can be lost in yourself. And we need to be saved from our sin. And then Jesus, when he was in the home of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, Jesus came to the home of Zacchaeus, and in Luke chapter 19, verse 5, Jesus came by the place and looked up. Zacchaeus had climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. He was small, and there was a crowd around. So he climbs up in this tree, and Jesus says, "Make haste and come down today. I must abide at your house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He has gone to lodge with a man that is a sinner." Just like back in Luke 15, 1 and 2, murmuring that Jesus is with sinners. Oh, that's just a terrible thing. And Zacchaeus stood and said, "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "Today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus came. And friends, he came to save you too, and to seek and to save. He's seeking you, and he wants to save you because you're lost. And when there is sin in your life and in my life, we are lost. So I want to talk about the great tragedy of being lost. Sometimes we think about tragedies. We think about someone being killed by a drunk driver. We think about someone being killed with a tornado or a hurricane, or someone who's killed or dies right after they're born, just a little baby. And we'll use the word tragedy for these things. The tragedy of someone dying due to a drunken driver, or the tragedy of someone losing their home and being killed in a tornado or a hurricane or some other natural disaster. The tragedy of a disease or an illness that strikes a little baby. We use the word tragedy. Well, I want us to think about the great tragedy of being lost in sin when Jesus comes again. And friends, we need to try to avoid that if we can. That's the greatest of all tragedies. Yes, these other things that I've mentioned and many other things in life are indeed tragedies. But the greatest of all of them is to be lost. So this morning I want to talk about why that being lost is a great tragedy. First of all, it's a great tragedy because of the wasted opportunity. A person has an opportunity now to be saved, and they just squander that. And what a tragedy it is that they could have been saved, but they chose not to. God made the plan of salvation. Jesus died on the cross and enacted that plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit revealed the plan of salvation in the Bible. We have it just right in our hands where we can read it. And you even have opportunity right now to be saved. But when somebody says, no, I don't want that, it's a tragedy because of that wasted opportunity. You could have been saved. It won't be a matter of, well, I didn't know, or I didn't have time, or nobody made a plan of salvation for me. Everything that you can think of has all been taken care of except you obeying the gospel. It's going to be a great tragedy in the judgment day when you're lost because you wasted the opportunity to be saved. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, today is the day of salvation. We need to act upon it today. And the Hebrew writer, even speaking to Christians, even Christians need to think about this. Those who have sinned in their life and they have not come back to the Lord, that happens too. They're lost. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The same thing in verse 13 and verse 15 and in chapter 4 and verse 7. Today hear his voice and harden not your hearts. Friends, now you have an opportunity to be saved. God has made the plan. Jesus has died on the cross. There's the Bible plan of salvation. To repent of your sins, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to believe in the gospel, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, to be raised from that baptism, to walk faithfully each day, Romans 6:3 through 5, a new life. Don't squander that opportunity. Don't waste that opportunity. If you do, it'll be a great tragedy. But there's also a great tragedy in the fact that there will be such a great separation. First of all, sin separates us from God, not geographically or in a distance, physical distance or mileage kind of way, but God cannot have fellowship with us when we have sin in our lives. Isaiah 59:1 and 2, Isaiah speaking from God says that your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. First of all, sin separates us from God. But not only that, if we're lost, there will be a great separation in hell. We will not be around those who are right and righteous. We will not be around God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. We will not be around family and friends who have become Christians and they're living properly according to the gospel. We will not be around other righteous Christians. All that is good and right and glorious and holy, we will be separated from that, and we will be with the devil and his angels. We will be with everything that is wicked and evil and ugly and bad, and separated from all that is good. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul talks about the Lord coming again from heaven, Jesus coming from heaven with his angels in power and flaming fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Verse 8, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, look at this, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. You're going to be separated from all of that. You will not be allowed to be in the presence of God. All of those who die in the Lord, Revelation 14:13. You'll be separated from that. You'll be separated from God and the holy angels, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. What a great tragedy that will be. If you've ever been separated from someone and missed them or wanted to be around them, this will be the greatest of all separations. And so, friends, Paul says, them that obey not the gospel. You need to obey that today. But it is a tragedy, and the greatest of all tragedies, because of the great pain that will be inflicted. I've been in pain in my life. Maybe you've experienced some pain in your life. And it hurts us, it grieves us, but it's nothing, absolutely nothing like what will take place when we are lost. In Luke chapter 16, when we die, we go to Hades first, and then after that, there will be the judgment day. And even in Hades, there is torment and pain. And then from there, we go to the judgment day, and after that, when we go to hellfire, there is more pain even there. And this rich man in Luke chapter 16, when he died in a lost state. And we find that after he died, in verse 23, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. And then you go from there to the judgment day and hell fire. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the unrighteous or the wicked, those that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, hell fire is, the torment of Hades is painful, and the torment of hell fire after that is even more painful. Jesus, who had more to say about hell than anyone in the New Testament, spoke in Mark chapter 9 and verse 47, if your eye calls you to stumble, cast it out, for it is good for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, for everyone shall be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it has lost its saltiness, wherewith will it season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace one with another. Hell is described as the fire that is not quenched. On other occasions, Jesus spoke of the wicked going to a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25, 30. The unprofitable servant cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is painful. So friends, you've got to understand that it's going to be a great tragedy because of the great pain. The greatness of the pain of hell and the pain of darkness and the pain of fire. Darkness drives people insane, and fire burns and hurts people, and this gnashing of teeth, continually gritting and grinding their teeth, there will be pain and no rest. It feels good to rest, but there won't be any rest in hell. Jesus spoke through John in the book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or not, night. Just think about, friends, never having the opportunity to rest. There will be no end, Jesus said, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And so, friends, we need to think seriously about being lost and the great tragedy of that. Sometimes people tie the word tragedy to the pain that people go through. Some people suffer pain with cancer. Some people suffer pain with other illnesses and diseases. But friends, it is nothing like the pain of hell. When Jesus said the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, that leads me actually to my next tragedy. And that is, it's a great tragedy because of the duration of hell. Hell is eternal. Jesus said at the end of Matthew chapter 25, the wicked shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Hell lasts as long as heaven. Some have come along and said, well, hell is only, you burn for a little while and then you burn up. No, read the verse again, Matthew 25, 46. Somebody says, well, how long does hell last? Well, how long does heaven last? It lasts the same duration as heaven. It's hard to comprehend it with our minds, the meaning of eternity. I have a hard time getting my head wrapped around that because we are so bound by time. We live in a time-space world and universe. We're used to distances of space. We're used to increments of time. And to remove all of that is hard to think about. Eternity is time without end. You will have time to reflect on your past life and opportunities. You will have time to reflect on all of those opportunities that you wasted. And one of those opportunities could be the very radio program that you're listening to today. Time to say, well, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that. All along being tortured forever. You had the opportunity to obey the gospel and you chose not to do it. You had the opportunity to read your Bible and search the scriptures and obey the New Testament gospel and you chose not to do that. We often think about spending eternity, but you can't spend eternity. Eternity is always there. And I've said that before. Where will you spend eternity? Well, if spend means something that you're going to use up, you're not going to use up eternity. So friends, we need to get serious about being saved. It is so amazing to me how that we will make sure that we take care of everything but our soul, and that's going to be our last point. We make sure that we take care of our house. We make sure that we take care of our car. We make sure that we take care of our phone. Boy, when our phone dies and the battery won't keep a charge, we rush to the cell phone repair and we make sure we get a new battery or we order one and put it in. Boy, we're right on that. We've got to have our phone. And I've got to have my phone charger. Did you bring your phone charger? Do you have your phone? Is your phone charged up? We ask so many questions about our phone. When was the last time you asked a question about what is the most important thing in your life? Your soul. But we take care of everything except being saved by the gospel plan of salvation. That's what makes this such a great tragedy. And last of all, friends, it's a great tragedy to be lost because of the loss itself, the loss of what we're talking about, and that is the loss of your soul. The most priceless possession in the entire world. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and Mark 8, 36 and 37, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That part of you, friend, that makes you who you are. Your life, your soul, your spirit. God breathed into mankind, Genesis 2:7, the breath of life. And God allowed man to be made in his image, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And part of that is that you have a soul that lives on after death. And we had a recent study here on the Let the Bible Speak program last week on the eternal nature of our soul, the immortal nature of our soul. You will have lost the whole purpose for who you are. We are here to glorify God in our body, 1 Corinthians 6:20. We are here on the earth to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole of man. That's all that man is about. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. To fear God and keep His commandments, because God is going to hold us accountable in the judgment day. That's the whole of man. And the whole purpose, once sin enters our life, is to be saved from that sin and obey the Lord so that we can live eternally with Him. That's what God's desire and will is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. We need to be willing to do what God is willing. And if God is not willing for something, we don't need to be willing for that. God is not willing that any should perish. You will have lost heaven, the most beautiful home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's mansion, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. John 14, 1 through 3. You will have lost hope. We're saved by hope in Christ, Romans 8, 24. Friends, you've got to understand that you are carrying with you your most prized possession, and that's your soul. It's not your phone. So when a person is lost in sin eternally, what a tragedy because of the wasted opportunity. What a tragedy because of the great separation from God. What a tragedy because of the great amount of pain and torment. What a tragedy because of the eternal duration of this darkness and this pain and hellfire. And what a tragedy because of the loss of the most important thing in all the world. It's not gold and silver. It's not precious metals and uranium and anything like that. It's not Bitcoin. It's not physical things. It's your soul. And what a tragedy. But friend, if you'll be wise and obey the gospel today, there will be eternity. But it's eternity in heaven, where there's praise and joy and happiness forevermore, because you're a faithful child of God. That's what I want to see for you and me. Let's not experience the great tragedy of being lost. If we can study together, please let us do that. Contact us with the information that is provided on the program. Thank you, and I hope that you'll have a good day.